Welcome back to another episode of On Life and Being Human. I'm your host, Catherine Colleen, and this is the podcast where we help you create a better life through complete connection to yourself, to others, and the world around you. Today, we're going to be talking about money in relationships, specifically how money is sometimes used to force attachment. This is an interesting topic. I like talking about the effect of money, the nature and effect of money on yourself as an individual, on your relationships, and on the world at large. Money itself is not good, bad, evil, divine, or indifferent. It's just a representation of how we see ourselves, how we love ourselves. It is, some people say, money is energy. And reacts in the way that energy is flowing within us and our self-image. And I agree largely with that. You can watch your relationship to money change as you go through the stages, as you work your way through them. So that's what we want to talk about today, is money in relationships can have a number of negative effects. And forcing attachment is one of them. And so the reason I talk about these negative effects, there are positive ones too, but there are a lot more negative ones when it comes to money changing hands between individuals. So we've talked a little bit about the nature and effect of money in relationships and on yourself before. You can go back and check out those podcast episodes. Check out the book Validation, Sabotage, and Freedom, which is a complete study of the nature and effect of money on yourself and on your relationships and on the world. So we've seen how money, or at least the representations that we attach to money, can trigger murder, violence, anger, extortion, manipulation, oppression, and control. Yikes. And you might see by now that we're moving from the kind of talking about the worst effects to the not so bad, but still maybe you want to avoid it effects. And eventually we'll get to all the most positive and good effects of money. But we're not there yet, so bear with me. And let's take a look at how money is used within relationships to force attachment. And there's a couple of different ways that this happens. So my favorite one is love me for the money. This is the oldest idea in the book. If I have money and a flashy car, then I will be surrounded by lovers and I will feel worthy. This is every guy who ever drove up in an expensive car and tried to talk to a woman walking down the sidewalk. There are plenty of partners willing to love you for the money. In reality, they're just loving your money through you. And you're just kind of part of the deal, and that's fine for now. And not everybody minds that, right? If everybody knows what's up and everybody knows what the deal is, it's all good, right? But gold diggers, sugar babies, mistresses, and kept men. Yes, kept men. That's a thing. And they go by many names. But they're all willing to act like they love you to enjoy your money. Now, don't get me wrong, you can be wealthy and still find real unconditional love. If you look for love by flaunting your intellect, you will attract someone for whom intellect is a priority. But if you're looking for love by flaunting your wealth, you will attract someone for whom wealth is the priority. And let us not rush to judgment here. Maybe you don't want a love relationship right now. Maybe you just want to have fun, and that's okay. But at the heart of it, if you're looking for companionship, it's because you are looking for acceptance. Eventually, you may choose to seek a deeper, more fulfilling connection. And when that time comes, the good news is that money-based relationships are quickly and easily severed. Easy come, easy go. You have to, so that if you just be honest about what you're looking for and why you're looking for it. The next one I want to take a look at is, you have to be nice to me because I give you money. This is different. This is different than act like my loving partner and you can use my money. This is different. This is, you have to be nice to me because I give you money. So sometimes money is not the foundation of a relationship, but instead it's used as a means to force continued attachment later. So, for example, suppose that your parents give you money for college. Very kind. If you are mean to them, they are not likely to pay for your school anymore. You feel compelled to continue to be nice and to have a positive relationship with them, even if they're not nice to you. Or even if they are nice to you. There may be no thought of control here. But the subtle threat, even if you're the only one who perceives it, of not having that cash can make you maintain relationships that you might otherwise allow to fade away. And it's not always cash. Suppose that maybe your friend provides free babysitting for you. That would have cost you a lot of money otherwise. It has big cash value. You may find yourself putting up with more than you might put up with just to keep getting that free babysitting. So take a look and see if you're vulnerable to this anywhere. Here's a slightly different version of that. Well, maybe if I pay for their lives, they will be nice to me. You see the difference? So as humans, we want so much to be accepted, especially by family, be it parents or kids or cousins. And all too often, I see people paying for someone else's expenses, and it is clearly to try and keep them close. Now, this is a little different than using money for control. They are paying their expenses in hopes that they can remain a part of their lives. This is not the same type of emotional extortion that we talked about before. In this case, the family members in question never asked for this as a condition of the relationship. The payer just assumes that if they weren't paying, their family would not have any reason to come around. It's an issue rooted in unworthiness. The idea is that you think that money is all you have to offer, as opposed to maybe love, acceptance, advice, caring, compassion, or a lot of other traits that you really could offer. It's the payer who feels unworthy in this case, and the payer offers essentially to pay their family to hang around. Now, not many people would say no to a free ride. So the situation is absolutely endless. What's worse is that those family members are rarely actually all that kind to the payer. The payer is often destitute in the end and dependent on those very people to take care of them. So in each of these scenarios, you're seeing the use of money to force attachment, and that forcing of attachment ultimately amplifies feelings of unworthiness and resentment. Is it the money's fault? No. Remember that money is neither good or bad. It's just an extension of ourselves. It's a representation of how we view ourselves. We make choices about how to use it. When those choices are based on unworthiness, the result amplifies that unworthiness. When those choices are made in hate or anger, the result amplifies hate or anger. As with all things, the root emotion is key. right? This is no different. It's just that we make so many choices with our money every single day. You've got a real opportunity here to examine the emotional roots of those choices, because there's so many. Really, really, like a lot, right? Go to the grocery, you bought 10 things. Those were 10 choices you made. You went online and you bought something. That's a choice you made. What was the root emotion of that choice? More importantly, this is a great opportunity right now here today to examine whose lives you're paying for and why. The why is the biggest deal here. Who are you sending money to, and why are you sending them money? On a personal level, right? Obviously, you're paying your bills. But this is about personal relationships. If money is coming to you or from you in a personal relationship, you really want to examine that. Because there are relatively few positive results from that. And so you really want to examine why. What is the emotional root of you giving it? What is the emotional root of you allowing the receiving of it, depending on which end you're on there? And what is ultimately the effect on your sense of self and on your relationship with the other person? It's some pretty heavy stuff when you think about it. And I promise we're going to get to a point where we're talking about all the positive, awesome, wonderful things that can happen with money. But we don't actually see those things when it comes to personal relationships outside of you and your spouse. You know, whereas in a spouse relationship or in a committed partner relationship, money can actually strengthen your connection and your bond and have a lot of wonderful effects, and we'll talk about that. But in any other kind of personal relationship, whether it's between parent and child, cousins, families, anything else, I gotta tell you, none of those relationships can be pure when money is involved. Somebody is not being real. And that ultimately limits the connection that you may be able to have in that relationship. So heavy stuff, worthy of examination, of taking a moment to pause and say, how do I see these in my life? Do I see these reflected in people I know, or is it happening with me and myself and I? All right, so as always, the emotional root is the key. So make sure you take a look at that. That's pretty heavy homework for today. So we'll leave it right there. Thank you for joining me for this podcast. If you have thoughts, questions, ideas, just click the link in the show notes and let me know. Let me know what's going on in your world and how I can help. And as always, I'll be wishing you, Purna Asati, complete connection.